Nobody remembers? Means it's very impactful. It's changing your life.
Right, finding relationship.
All right, and that's the overall thing is what we're looking at is broader relationship. We're primarily kind of focusing on some terms, but the whole thing is dealing with broader relationship. So, gonna hit a couple things as we work into what we're gonna look at tonight. So I got a call yesterday from a gentleman, and I've talked to him a little bit. Brother Ryan's actually talked to him a lot, and a lot of Bible verses, and talking back and forth and things. And so he called me, and he had a question, and he didn't tell me where it was or anything like that. He just started reading. So I'm gonna do what he did to me, and then I'm gonna ask you a question. Okay? So I almost told you where it was right off the bat. And so he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot." So, well, I'm not asking you to tell me that. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Does that mean that God is going to vomit me out if I'm not serving him?
Not probably the way he was thinking.
Okay, yeah.
He might be thinking, I don't know, I'd have to listen. Yeah, that's
true. But he was thinking about losing his salvation.
Yeah, no.
Okay?
No,
and now, did anybody know where that was? Hopefully you did. Hopefully. Where was that?
Revelation.
Okay? And I said, no. I said, I said that if you look up just a couple verses above that, it's going to tell you that was actually addressed to a church. And if you read it in that context, he's talking about that church having some problems and he's dealing with their bridal relationship. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, that makes me feel a lot better. Okay? Now, he's a smart person. He's got a lot of influence, religious influence, but he's a smart person. Verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea is right, these sayings saith the Amen, the faithful true witness, beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth." Why didn't he do that? I'm assuming he read verse 14. I'm just making that assumption, okay? Just because it's kind of a natural thing, generally, if you're looking at something, you know, you might read a little bit around it, you know, whether it's a book or anything else. Why not do that and come to the same conclusion that, you know, he called me to ask that? What? Why?
I would guess he hasn't been taught.
Do you need to be taught that?
Rightly divide.
Well, not even that. I mean, forget the rightly dividing, because I'm going to use your little thing up here in a second. But forget the rightly dividing. It just says the verse right before, "Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea."
Oh.
Why not? Oh.
He doesn't understand what a church is or what the difference between church and saved.
Well, and I think there's a conflict between what church is and universalism. I think because I know there's some of that in there, but you know I've been thinking about this since yesterday and today was like why not know that, buddy, Brother Daniel.
Seeing this, the gentleman over down there in Medford, and he's now a member of the New Testament Church, and we've been going over a lot of that stuff, and it just amazes me, and I guess it personifies, more and more I see Matthew chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 really coming into play, more than even what I realize, where God really does blind people, and people just cannot see it unless you have the Holy Spirit in his comfort. That's exactly where you're going.
Well, not necessarily, because I don't even know.
There are some things that I think that are kind of obvious that people just miss.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying that understanding it. I'm like, just why not read that one verse? Or if you read that verse, why not church. Okay, it's, the concept is a church. Now what? Now maybe I still believe you can lose your salvation, but this person seems, I know he's been confused with that, has struggled with that from time to time. And, you know, Brother Ryan's given him, you know, hundreds and hundreds of verses over this, you can't lose your salvation. And I did the same thing. And he goes, okay, good. He goes, I can always count on you two. It's like, okay.
So how come he can't get it?
That's my whole thing. Why not get this yourself? Okay? Why not get this yourself?
And you just show it. And when you talk to him, oh, that makes sense.
Reminds me of Brother Tom.
By themselves, they just can't.
Yep. And you and I had the same thing with Brother Tom. That, and it reminds me of that. Brother Jared.
Well, I could always think, you know, church doesn't apply to him, so the next verse is, well, what if these are talking about me? So he just kind of ignores. You can easily ignore the part that doesn't apply to you, but this next part where God deals with you, that can apply to me in salvation. So that's what I'm going to focus on.
Or if I do believe universal church, I read that, I just got kicked out. If I get kicked out, all the saved, I just lost it. Okay? So we're going to tie some of this together in a second. Go into Nehemiah, Brother Crabtree.
More than likely, the root of it is this. Behold, I stand at the door.
Yeah?
All right. How many missionary Baptist preachers have I heard use that for salvation?
Yeah.
That's knocking on the door of the church. And he, the reason his familiarity with this, or at least even back in the back of his mind, causes him to want to apply all of this to an individual rather than...
Okay, and let's go to Nehemiah. So Brother Bo put this little piece up here, says background research, okay? So I listened to what he read, because he actually read it to me, and then I waited for his question, and... Right off the bat, let's just say I didn't know what verse he went. As soon as he started reading, it was like most of you, I knew where he was at. I couldn't remember if it was second chapter, third chapter, but I knew exactly, you know, where he was, and I would have found it, you know, in 2 seconds. And I didn't have my Bible with me or anything. I was just taking the phone calls. So, what do I know? What do I know beyond any doubt? Can't lose salvation. How do I know that? Okay, what's that?
John 3:16.
Okay, the Bible has many, many, many passages where it says everlasting, eternal life. Okay, it says sealed. It uses those terms all the time in just the context of salvation. So let's just say I don't know something. Okay, but I go back to the background here, and I know Brother Bo is going to expand on this. I know there's a definite thing that you can't lose. You can maybe lose something else, but you can't lose your salvation.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that. So then any other question I have that I'm dealing with, what is not being considered? My salvation. It's not dealing with salvation. It has to be dealing with something else. Okay? Now, this was an easy one because all you had to do is read the verse above, and all the context is dealing with the church. And then what we're going to get into a little bit tonight is we're not universalists. So that, you know, that kind of helps. Did somebody have something that I... Okay, Nehemiah, yes. Nehemiah 8.
In my experience talking to people, a lot of it is that they don't slow down.
And that's a lot. And that's... I've been really preaching at the church.
What they're reading.
Yep. Or we jump. We know what we're reading and we are jumping ahead instead of paying attention to what we're reading. We're skipping stuff and adding more things to it.
Yeah, we also take advantage of what we've learned, the years of experience that we've learned in the doctrines, and we forget that they don't know what we know.
So I read this thing today, and it's so fitting with the Bible, but it wasn't dealing with the Bible, it's dealing with engineering. And an engineer, you know, he's, you know, got all these engineering degrees and, you know, works in a company and he designs all kinds of things. He's playing with his kids with Legos. Anybody else see this? This is pretty cool. He's playing with his kids in Legos and building, this kid is building like this span of a bridge. And the dad's kind of trying to teach him, hey, will this work? Will this hold this? No, no, no. And so the dad goes to the Lego box and is digging out more Legos to go back to build up the span that they were making. And when he got back, the kid had already solved the problem. The four-year-old kid had solved the problem. And what the four-year-old kid did is he just removed some stuff. And he solved it just doing it all simply. And the engineer's sitting there like, okay, I overthought it and you know was going to make this more complicated. So he thought, I can't be the only one. So he went to his firm, went around all the other engineers, and took them Legos, did the same thing he just did with his four-year-old. Guess what all they did?
Same thing he did?
They did the same thing he did. They over-engineered to solve it. They wanted to add more stuff to it to solve it. When you read the Bible, don't add stuff. When you're studying a topic and a passage and whatever you look at, obviously there's a line in precept, build on precept, but don't skip what you're looking at to jump ahead to add more stuff to it. Does that make sense? Because sometimes you skip little things in between. And the reason why we're doing all this in Nehemiah 8, and we read this earlier, I don't want you to know this, I want you to be able to teach this. I want you to be able to, we're going to look at some things in a second, to be able to effectively combat this. I want you to be able to teach it. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and a guy was, he was in the Marines, and he left the Marines, and he went into, he became a SEAL. And he's in the SEALs, and he's in an engagement, and right off the bat, his rifle got messed up. And it was pretty crazy in the house, lots of bullets were flying. And he said, instinctively, he just dropped the gun, you know, it's attached to him. He dropped the rifle, he didn't try to fix it, he didn't have time to fix it. He just instinctively grabbed this pistol and carried on the fight. And he said, he caught himself after this moment was done. He didn't even think about grabbing his, he didn't even panic. He's like, oh man, my gun. He didn't even look to see why the gun wasn't working. The rifle just wasn't working. He knew something was wrong with it. And he just dropped it and grabbed his pistol and carried on and lived. And then there was a little break. And when the break happened, he was able to grab the gun, see what the problem was, fix it, and got back into it. Okay? Why was he able to do that?
Because he had trained himself on it.
It's instinct. It became a second nature. He had trained so much and had it pounded into him that when he got into a bad situation, he didn't stop to think about it and reason and all that. He just reacted to what he needed to do. And then in the moment when things were a little better for him, he decided to, let's fix it because the rifle is a better option than the pistol. Pistol just got him through something, but he needed the rifle. I want you not to know the answer. I want you to teach. Okay? I want you to talk to somebody. I want somebody to talk to you. And I don't want you to have to think that you have to call somebody. I need a couple weeks to get back to you. There are things, topics you may need some more time on. There's topics I would like, I like to think I can, work through something, but obviously the more time you have, the better off you're going to be. But you don't always have that luxury, okay? In Nehemiah 8, we read this in the very beginning of this lesson. It said, and so they read the book of the law of God distinctly, okay? What is distinctly?
Clearly.
They were staying on point, let's just use that term, and they read it distinctly and gave the sense. Okay, that's the rightly dividing part. Okay, that's reading verse 14, right, written to a church. That's knowing some things. Okay, there's some fundamental things that are concrete with God. You can't lose your salvation. And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Cause them to understand the reading. And that is what I want you to do. I want you to be able to get to that point to do that. So we had, it got brought to my attention Wednesday. So we've done some church discipline. And this one unhappy person that the church disciplined, they wrote a review. Now, I don't ever read those things. I don't pay attention. I didn't even know we had reviews. And somebody said, hey, did you see that review? I said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, they've since taken it down, but, you know, they had it. And so read through there. Well, they started off with the saying that, you know, we're not, beware, we're not teaching biblically. And they went through, and we're gonna hit that just in a second. And then they went through a bunch of things, tried to throw some verses in there. And then they, you know, went into disparaging some people. And by doing the few people, they actually disparage the whole church. God's going to take care of all that stuff. So I've never heard this term before. I've heard it twice this year. And, you know, thinking about all this stuff, I heard it twice this year. Baptist briars.
What?
Yeah. I've never heard that term before. And so is anybody in here a Baptist briar?
I heard it a couple other places.
Okay, so I've never heard it till now. Now, when you read about it, oh, yeah, I've heard things about that. Okay, so we're going to read some things that we're going to look at. Is anybody a Baptist briar in here? Anybody want to go out on a limb and say, yeah, I think I might be. Okay, all right. You're a heretic. Mm-hmm. Is anybody in here a landmarker? Double heretics. What's the Bible say after the third one?
Reject.
Hey, I'm not a Baptist writer in the sense they mean.
Well, hang on. I'm going to read you there. I'm going to read it to you because you might find out you are. No.
Listen, I went through this for several years.
This is a new term, though. I never heard this term before. So I got a call before Christmas as I'm putting all this stuff together. So there's another church, I think it was in Lebanon, never heard of it, but they ran into some problems and with their pastor. Apparently he went to Disneyland. That was carnal sin, so a bunch of people left. So I was getting phone calls, and they're reading our website, asking questions, and this one person's asking me a bunch of questions. It happened to be a woman, and I'm answering them for her, and then she goes, are you a landmarker? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Oh, no. I don't know if my husband will do that. We're fundamentalists. And I'm like, well, if you really knew what word fundamentalists mean, you'd be a landmarker too. Okay, but they want to contaminate everything. So then, this first time I heard Baptist Brighter earlier this year, we had some visitors coming. I actually think they came from that church. This wasn't the person that called me, but I think that's where they came from. And they really liked the church and everything. And then we got onto this topic right here, and, you know, red flags went up for them. Trying to make an appointment to be able to study and go over some things. I gave them some scriptures and nothing. They said, we didn't know that you were landmarkers when we came. Like, you know, you're a Mormon or Jehovah Witness or Catholic or something like that. Because that's how we would take that, right? So you're all heretics. One more, we're really in trouble. So be careful. Be careful. Okay. Had a situation in Sunday school, another family. So we've had lots of visitors all leave in the last couple months. And this couple moved out from Arkansas. They have two young kids. And they started going to a missionary Baptist church in Arkansas. And I don't know anything about the church, and we never got that far. They only came for Sunday morning. Never get them to come anything else. They came to a couple of youth things, but never got them to come any more than that. In Sunday school class, and these are younger kids, teachers teach it on baptism. Somewhere it came up, oh, I've been baptized. Yeah, but Brother Mike didn't baptize you. Is that a good answer?
No.
No, okay. That is not a good answer. That is not given the right sense, okay? Now, what was the teacher meaning? Because the teacher meant well. And they're trying to explain to a kid. What were they trying to say?
you don't have a good bedroom. Your bedroom's unacceptable because you were sprinkled.
Well, the teacher doesn't know anything about their baptism.
Okay.
But what's the teacher trying to say? Well, Brother Mike didn't baptize you.
Probably an unscriptural administrator.
And that's the point that the teacher's making in their brain, but it got communicated out. You didn't get baptized by me. So then what is the premise of that?
You're the only good.
I'm the only good baptism administrator around on the planet. Okay?
John.
So if you don't, what's that?
So you're like John.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, well, we'll go down the river and we'll just, I'm not going in the river. We'll, you just go out and dunk yourself and I'll put my hand on you or something. Right? Now, is there ways to teach that? So you teach the same thing, but maybe not, because they got this family got a bunch of scriptural verses after that, but you know that they're not grounded enough to be able to decipher any of that. And I, you know, I'm not, if they went to that other missionary, I don't know anything about that other missionary Baptist church, but if they went to them like they went to us, they, you know, they didn't go enough to get anything. So how else would you maybe say that? How else can you deal with that? Anybody? How about, well, the Bible teaches this is what we need for baptism. And if we have this, then we have good baptism. And now what did I just do? I'm teaching that. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching, you know, the older, the middle-aged, or the kids. What did I just do when I said all that?
You removed everything.
I took out the personal thing. I said, well, the Bible gives us some things on baptism. And if we have this, if you and me, we all have this, we have good baptism. There's no personal thing in there.
Right? I'd probably start with the candidate before I even started with, you know, like what does the candidate look like?
But sometimes you don't get that. This is just a side question that came up in the class and kind of haphazard, you know, answer back and, you know, that half-answered answer. And sometimes we do that, you know. It's just like, so I want you to give the sense. I want you to learn how to teach. That's my whole thing. Now, how do you know if you can do it?
Do what?
Teach.
Practice.
Yeah, but where?
Church.
You're gonna have to get. You're after to open yourself up and take a class or do a devotional or you know, volunteer or something. You're gonna have to do it because that's the only way you're gonna know. Now, me standing up here and regurgitating a bunch of verses, is that teaching anything? Nehemiah said they gave the what? They took the people that they were with, that audience, they took them with them. And that's my way of trying to, you know, if I'm just talking and you're giving me my 40 minutes, that doesn't mean I'm teaching anything if I don't take you with me. Okay? We all take this little trip together. Brother Daniel, do you have something?
Well, you said it, but reiterate, because it's so important in the day we live in. You have to take the personalities out of it. You can't make it. You have to. This is what the word says.
Yeah.
We're not attacking you.
Or even the religion.
Even the religion. Yep. We're dealing with what does the Bible say.
Brother Ryan sent me a text. Should I answer him now? He's watching. Should we answer him now? Because he's not here.
Yes.
All right. Anyway. So I did not know this until I read this review. Apparently, there's websites about this. Baptist Briders. So I typed in Baptist Brider and I'm like, this is new to me. Okay. And I was like, well, what do they think that we think that we believe? And so I don't know why this is the first one that popped up. And so I'm going to not read all of this, but I am going to read a bunch of this. And I just want you to listen, and I want you to ask yourself, can I defend this? Okay? And not that, oh, stupid, their hair, or whatever. No. Can I take somebody, given the opportunity, and sometimes, you know, verses are given or opportunities are asked for and they're not responded back. And sometimes, you know, like I think the person that probably left the review is a lost person. And there's like no getting through to that person at this stage, okay, until other things happen in their life to make that wall come down. The term Baptist brighter refers to a belief system held by a minority of independent Baptist churches around the world. The exact percentage would be impossible to determine since independent Baptists are independent and therefore don't all subscribe to the same directories, accounting systems, and so forth. The term itself is one that has been adopted over time for convenience and emphasize the belief held by this group that only Baptists from the proper belief system are part of the body of Christ and therefore the bride of Christ, hence the phrase, the group, this group of Baptists does not have a term or phrase to describe themselves, and they typically deny the phrase Baptist brighter. Another term that would apply would be landmarker or phrase local church only. Okay, so how much of that do you agree with? Just in principle. All of it.
Well, there's a couple of verbiage they say.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the premise of what they're saying, yeah, that's accurate, okay? Now, it's totally out of context, as we're reading through here. The system of beliefs affect many doctrines and practices. Now, I'll tell you, after I looked this up last night, and I read it, I'm thinking to myself, like, I teach reference the bride a lot. I'm most willing, even if I'm not even preaching or teaching on it, it might get referenced at least once a week in some form, somehow. I do a lot. The bride is what makes, it separates a scriptural church from a non-scriptural. Okay? And it's the bride. And I think that needs to get emphasized. You know, I'm not saying every week needs to be a lesson on the bride, but it needs to be taught. It needs to be emphasized. The requirements that God has needs to be put in there. Because as we're going to read next through here, some of this stuff, this guy's right. It affects almost every other doctrine. The system of beliefs affect many doctrines and practices, including baptism, church membership, the Lord's Supper, the understanding of our position in Christ, the way other churches' believers are viewed, as well be shown this system of beliefs cannot be fully defended. Now, you know, he's wrong on this. Cannot be defended with God's word and typically relies upon church history and church authority to defend its position. Now, if that is your argument, that's how you teach it, then this guy's right.
If you only have history to go back to, but if you don't have any Bible.
And that's, yeah. And so if I'm relying on the history, is the history there?
Yes.
And it's important. But the Bible needs to be your thing. Brother Dell's teaching the history part right now. It's cool. It's fascinating. It's interesting. It's I think it's important to know. But you need to know the Bible teaches it to be able to regurgitate what he's bringing out. Okay? Baptist bride beliefs really didn't come into prominence until their founder, so we have a founder, Southern Baptist pastor named J.R. Graves, okay, wrote in some papers in the mid-1800s putting forth his beliefs as landmarks of the faith and claiming that there had always been Baptist churches that subscribed to this position. Over the course of several years, his movement resulted in many churches separating from the Southern Baptists. So, you know, this guy's writing it from a little bit of a tainted perspective, forming independent Baptist landmark churches. This movement was a reaction of the progressivism that was permeating churches in the time. It remained relatively small fraction of Baptists until the mid-1900s. So what's the problem with just that little part? And my thought that I come to is in the Bible itself, when the disciples came and they asked Jesus, why do your disciples fast not and John's do? Why is that?
He that hath the bride
is a bridegroom. Now, this is just me. I'm reading in the Bible and I read across the bride. I wonder what that is. I may not know. But I'm wondering, that's a weird term. I read over in Matthew 24. Hey, we got some brethren in Matthew the 24th chapter, or no, excuse me, the 25th chapter. Now I gotta go look. 25th chapter, where you got some that are ready and some are not. And then who came?
ones that were ready.
The groom. What's that about? I don't know, but that stands out in my mind. What is that? Why were they ready? Where were not? Does the Bible talk about loss in heaven? Or loss, not heaven is not the right word, but the Bible talk about loss, and is dealing like referencing churches. That's what we've been dealing with. So does the Bible talk about a loss?
Yes.
Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. He warns those seven churches in Asia, hey man, you don't fix this, I'm going to remove some things. If you overcome this, I will reward you with some things. Okay? So things would ring bells to me, Brother Josh.
So the charge is that the idea or the question of the Baptist bride that we teach from the Bible was invented and originated by J.R. Graves in the SBC?
Yeah. Okay. Well, and this is why he gets that. He wrote a book.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, Was it taught prior to this? Were these Waldenses and all these guys, Brother Dell's going, do you think they taught about that? Yeah. Why were they dealing and standing and taking all these lashes if it didn't matter? Yeah. Okay. Brother Crabtree, I see your hand up.
Well, he's all wet about Graves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Graves never left the Southern Baptist Convention. And if he didn't leave, then if it's true that all landmarkers come from him, then,
well, I think he's confused about when the Southern Baptists 1840, you know, when they split, I think, or when the Southern Baptists originated. I think he's trying to put all that together. Baptist bride. Let me read this last little part here. Okay, when this modernism in the 1900s crept in, they became landmarkers, beliefs, and reactions, believing that true independent Baptist churches needed to return to old landmarks to stay true to God's word. Anybody believe in that?
Yeah.
Brother Daniel's the only one? I believe in that. Baptist brothers believe that the body of Christ and the church only refers to local churches. This is the foundational belief of their system. What's the Bible teach? The reason I started with what we started with, the church in Laodicea, unto the church, or unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. What kind of church is that? And it's funny, so we have some people that have left the church at this. Person left the review is now going to. And so we've got a bunch of their people over the years have come. And they've left for various different reasons. And, you know, they were just at the time looking for somebody to use the King James. And they come, whoa, man, we didn't know there was actually Bible for this. And, you know, got squared around with God. So I'd never really looked at that church, but I was a little curious. They rent our camp, by the way. So I went through, I just read their statement of faith last night. Guess what they believe in?
Calvinism?
No, they believe, they didn't say anything. I didn't pick that up from their statement of faith. They believe in local church. They believe.
They say they do.
I think in the term that they use and how they go about things, they do believe in it. They believe the Lord's Supper is to only that congregation. They believe that. They believe, what was the other thing? I can't remember. Oh, they don't have any affiliations with any organization or anything like that. I mean, they're like, you know, like, your name may be in the American Baptist Association, but you're not necessarily dealing with them, and that's kind of how they reference, okay? So what do you think is going to happen if this person who thinks local church is wrong is sitting in a church and one day he finds out, oh, we believe in local church. Or we believe the Lord's Supper is only to this membership. Now, I think they take any baptism in, but only this congregation can take it. What do you think that's going to do? Anybody?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? Because if that's wrong, why are you doing that? Why are they doing that? Anybody?
Because they're hypocrites.
What's that?
Because they're hypocrites.
No, they're doing right in that regard. No. Brother Wagner can't come to Albany to take the Lord's Supper. Right? Why would they do that? Why would they say that in their statement of faith?
Well, ideally they are saying it because the Bible.
Because they can see that in the Bible. Why are they saying they believe in local church? Because they can see that in the Bible, okay? Now, their lineage is bad, and I'll share that part with you in a second, but they see enough of it that, you know, they read verse 14 and realized the context is to a church, okay? Now, they don't believe in the bride of Christ. It's not taught there or anything like that. But, you know, so, you know, that's where the tracks fall off. All right, let me read through a little bit more of this, because this is good stuff, I think. And it's good stuff in that. Can you defend this? Okay. I want Brother CJ to be able to defend this. I don't want my grandpa says. I don't want him doing that. I want him to be able to take you and take somebody that will listen to him and have a discussion in the Bible and be able to share with them local scriptural church lineage. Okay. Along with this comes the belief that true churches are only those that have been started with the proper authority, which they believe has been literally passed from church to church from the time of Christ until now. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
This succession requires faith on their part, since it cannot be proven. I don't believe in that. And it can't, I mean, understand, you can prove it without the history. Because the Bible itself lays that out. Now, if you don't know how to show in the Bible another church getting started in the Bible, that is something that you need to take on. Because, you know, I'm not hitting that. It's been hit in the school before. Doesn't mean it shouldn't be hit again. But that's something you need to be able to, that's something that you need to make yourself able to do. In referring to local churches, they use words like perpetuity, continuance, perpetual to describe the successive process. This belief is passed down. Authority leads to the belief that baptism can only be administered with proper authority, i.e. only churches that believe as they do. Do you believe in that? Yes? God, you guys are all heretics. The Bible believer understands that it is the Word of God that gives the authority to start a church, baptize, etc. The Bible makes it clear that the pastor of a church should be ordained, laying on hands, and so on. Give some Bible here. As given, and this is an important process for confirming that pastoral candidate has a proper biblical experience, calling, training, meets, whatever. And they even have some stuff for qualifications in here. But again, this authority comes from the Word of God, not from 2,000 year succession.
He's definitely IP.
Yeah. He believes it does come from the Word of God, and there is a 2,000-year succession. Mm-hmm. By believing in only local churches, they eliminate the belief in the universal church.
Yeah.
So you understand that this topic of the bride, all the doctrine that it's affecting, that, yes, it teaches baptism, the Lord's Supper. It teaches local church. It teaches church perpetuity. Let's see here. By believing in only local churches, they eliminate the belief in the universal church or one body of Christ made up of all saved people, because the original subscribers to this belief were convinced that belief in universal church is what led to modernism and, you know, all the isms there. The problem with this belief is that many scriptures have to be twisted or retranslated or better explained to be consistent. Now think about that. If you have to manipulate a passage to make it work, what are you doing?
Perverting God's word.
Aren't you going back and looking in the Lego box and trying to get more Legos to build something instead of just let it be simple?
Making it your own God.
Well, yeah, you try to make that, but is the Bible simple? We've been trying to emphasize that all year. Bible's simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Majority of verses mentioning word church are referring to the local church. This isn't surprising since the Greek word ekklesia refers to assembly, except they left out a part. It's a called out assembly. Okay. However, the following scriptures clearly teach local church, and they go through and they use Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 10, 32, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, basically, as you continue reading through there, he starts in there about, you know, there is a universal church. So guess what kind of church this guy's from? The Bible Baptist. Just like the one that this family is going to. Now, they're probably like missionary Baptists, they're all different. But I thought that was interesting. My thing is, I've ran into this twice in... It's only May 4th, and I've never heard it before. Now, I've heard you think you're the only one, all that. I've never heard of this term. It tells me that people are teaching maybe against that, okay? And so these people are going to get frustrated, and they're going to come. They're going to visit your services one day, okay? You need to know those who labor among if they ever want to join. But you know how this got exposed? For us, because people they liked coming. Started teaching on this. Not even trying to expose something. Just with Bible teachings. Whoa. How do you expose error?
Truth.
Teach truth.
The Bible.
Teach the Bible. That's all you got to do. But if you don't teach these things that expose and lay out what these doctrines are they going to get exposed? If we only teach about how much Jesus loves you, which is true, what's going to happen? Because we would be a lot bigger church.
Milk.
This would be a lot bigger church too. You can't even teach milk. Because if you're going to teach Jesus loves you, if I'm going to teach that, also I got to teach, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And then I got to start teaching on what some of those commandments are. And then it's just a snowball, exactly. Brother Bo, go ahead, Brother Nathan.
You're not teaching each and every doctrine. You're not. You're like building blocks to the foundation. Yep. So if you don't have that foundation clearly laid out in front of you, I mean, all those doctrines have to fit together or else none of them fit.
So, I mean, this is a real thing. We're living in a day and age where this is real and it's going to happen and everything. And it's important to teach. It's important that I got this, but it's important that every member can do this. And not just because, you know, I want you to memorize. I want you to know why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe in local church? Why do you believe in baptism? Full immersion in water. Why do you believe in that? Why do you believe in the proper authority for baptism? Why do you believe that in that city the Lord wants his bride and this bride is going to be closer to him than anything else? Okay? And does any of that matter? And I want you to know why you believe that.